Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore once again on this Tuesday morning edition as we continue our new lesson on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to welcome you to our Tuesday morning online Bible school with Grace Institute as we get into the lesson that we have started yesterday in dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe as we continue to look into the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we will find out that it is a vital asset to our growth, to revelation knowledge, to understanding, to having true intimacy with the Lord Jesus himself, because it is his Spirit that is living within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are more than conquerors because we have the Spirit of Christ that has conquered principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in every area of our life. And I know because of the natural aspect of things, the enemy will make appear to whereas if you are victorious, then why this? Why? How come this hasn't happened? How come that has happened? Well, most of the time, things happen to us because what? You know, things can get by us, mainly but because we lack understanding. As Hosea 4:8 says, or 6 says, my people are destroyed because of what? A lack of knowledge. So if I'm destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, then guess what? That's not, it may be a bad thing at the moment, but it's a positive if you look at it in that light and say, okay, I can correct that. Let me see where I went wrong. Let me see how I can correct that and this won't happen again. So when it said my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, well, we know why the children of Israel were destroyed. It's because they did not want to hear the word of the Lord. So I don't think that's you and I, you know, that we reject the word of the Lord. So, but we still... things can still happen because of a lack of knowledge of God's word. But this is why we have these online Bible schools, so it can help us to correct our course. And so as we continue in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is, I think, this is a very broad subject. And so by no means where I will be able to exhaust everything about the Holy Spirit, but I will do my best through the leading of the Holy Spirit to minister to you in a mean whereby you can grow in your faith and have a trust and a confidence that the word of God can't fail. Amen. And so the only way I can do that, try to build that confidence in you through the Holy Spirit, is by giving you, you know, again, applications in the word of God. Because you and I are the righteousness of God by faith through Christ Jesus. But then the righteous has to live by faith. And so if the righteous going to live by faith, then that means the righteous going to live by the word of God that we have by faith. So you have to know what the word says in order for you and I to do what? To be led by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8:14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So that would mean sons and daughters of God. And that make you and I an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Now, why is that so important? That joint heir, because Christ has done the conquering for you and I, and then given us the benefit as though we were there doing the conquering. But it was the Spirit that of him that had received, that we received of him. And so because we received the conquering, triumphant Spirit of Christ that is in us through the confession of our mouth and the belief of our heart, that's, you know, being born again, we received the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we talked about yesterday, I want to add that every believer should be filled with the same Holy Spirit that you received once you got born again. See, we're not talking about two different spirits. We're talking about the same Holy Spirit, but then there is an overflow of the same Holy Spirit that you have. That means when you have an overflow of something, what does it do? It begins to spill out, and it begins to do what? Make contact. You know, like if I had water, if I had, you know, put my glass in, I was pouring water out of a pitcher into a glass, and if I wasn't paying attention, then it would get on the counter, get on the table, it will spill on the floor. And everywhere it's wet, it is because why? That's an overflow of what was in the glass. And so when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit of speaking in other tongues, we're speaking to you in a matter that it's an overflow of the same Spirit that when you got born again, it's overflow. In other words, you'll notice it in your body. You'll notice it in your language. You'll notice it in your behavior. So this, when you're filled with the baptism and the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it is an evidence that something inwardly has taken place on the inside of you. Because everything about you now, you are transporting and something that is not normal. And that's what gets people's attention around you. They hear it in your conversation. They see it in your mannerism. Everything about you is affected when you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, things take place also once you get born again. People will know there's a difference. You know, sometimes we say, well, that's my personality. Well, I don't do this very well. Well, once you get born again and you allow the baptism in the Holy Spirit to fill you up with the overflow, well, guess what? All of a sudden, it starts changing your personality. It affect your personality. It will affect everything that you do, how you spend your money, where you spend your money. It will affect your time. It will. Why? Because you have become God inside minded. Now, of course, everything that I just spoke of just a minute ago, that doesn't happen all overnight. I started out yesterday in sharing with you about the example about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how our Lord was introduced into the world. Now, it's been prophesied hundreds, thousands of years that one will come from their own tribe and will bring forth, and that was the Israelite back then, that will come and he will be the Messiah. He will be the one to lead. And so here we are, we have the prophecy that has come to pass, already to come to pass, and God is giving you and I not the introduction of the Holy Spirit in his first meeting. No, the Holy Spirit was with God in the beginning, because the Bible said God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says in verse 26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him have dominion. So that was God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit was all present at the beginning of creation. But because of man's fallen identity, the Holy Spirit could not work within him. The Holy Spirit had to work up on them. You know, from Adam, once he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from that point on, the tree of the Spirit of God now had to make himself known through types and shadows. We know very much whereas how God delivered the children of Israel. I always say, you know, the book of Exodus, especially the first 15 chapters, you know, is so important to you and I as the righteous of God, because it goes to show the delivery of how they were delivered from the bondage, from the enslavement of Pharaoh. And so this goes to show you and I, from a spiritual perspective, we were delivered not from and tyrant of a man, of human, but we were delivered from the tyrant of the devil himself through principalities, through powers, and through rulers of darkness, because everything that God made was good. But because of one man's transgression, notice I keep using the term through one man's transgression. This is how the entrance of the spirit of darkness, the spirit of darkness was transferred in this realm. It didn't just happen. It happened because Adam gave consent. Adam gave into the conversation that the enemy was speaking using the serpent. And so now we are here in the book of Luke again, reintroducing to you and I the Spirit of God that wants to live in us, not through types and shadows, but in us. And so everything now through the New Testament, through the covenant that God has made with us through his Son, Jesus Christ, notice it, it's going to come forth. It's going to come forth out of you. So everything about the kingdom of God, about being the righteousness of God, about whose you are and the identity that you have in Christ, about renewing your mind with the word of God, everything comes from within. Nothing takes place on the outside. Everything outwardly about me is a manifestation of the glory of God. When I say the glory, I'm talking about it's a manifestation of God's word permeating out of my heart, out of my spirit. That means what's real inside of me, it is working on the outside where you can see it. Because you can't see the Spirit of God. You can't see the things of the Spirit. But you can see the manifestation of the Spirit when you lay hands, when we touch somebody, lay hands up on them. Well, that's an impartation or a transferring of the anointing of God and giving a person the opportunity to do what? To use their faith to grab hold of what is being said. And once we lay hands on them, then we believe that they will partake of that anointing. It is the Holy Ghost, and it goes into them. We can transfer that anointing. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about that stuff, that part of the subject yet, but I'm just trying to give you a more of a open heavenly view about the ministry of the Holy Spirit that you have in you and why you should, every believer should pray in other tongues. Okay. And so yesterday, as we stopped off yesterday, we stopped off yesterday here in the book of Luke, and we were showing you that how God used Gabriel in two incidents right here to introduce how John the Baptist came forth. John the Baptist's ministry, he was set for one thing, and that was to introduce the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in the earth. But notice this. John the Baptist, they both were 30 years of age. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus because of the birth that we see here. But John the Baptist waited 30 years. I want you to think about that. 30 years for one purpose. And that purpose was to do what? Was to introduce Jesus Christ, you know, as the Lamb of God. Are you understand what I'm saying? What am I saying to you? You may be living, you may have lived 30, maybe 40, 50 years and have not the fullness of what God purposed in your life have not come to pass. But what is taking place inside of it? A growth. You enjoying the privileges of God. You're living by faith. You understand what I'm saying? You're tasting the things of the goodness of God. But surely you will be able, once, you know, time itself plays an element of how God releases. God doesn't live in time. God lives outside of time. But when time, when the appointed time is spoken for an event to take place that God has prophesied, that God has already spoken in his word, then God will step into time to watch over his word to perform. And so it may not be your time per se, where God, the thing that God has appointed you to, called you to, so that it could just, what? It would just begin to open itself up to you. It may not be the right time, but as you continue to grow, as you continue to press in, as you continue to feed on the word of God, then guess what? The day gonna come, the hour gonna come. If you just stay connected to the truth, you will know the thing that God truly purposed in your life. Like I said, John the Baptist waited 30 years before he was able to introduce the Messiah. Jesus waited 30 years before he was able to step into his ministry. He didn't perform one miracle. He didn't do one healing. He didn't do anything extraordinary from the time of his birth till he was 30 years of age. He was learning. He was growing. He was learning of himself. And why am I going through this? Because at times, how often we think that the moment we get saved, the moment we start praying in other tongues, we know that something inside of us changed. And what are we ready to do? We're ready to tell the world. We're ready to share with everyone. And rightly so, it's good to have that on the inside. It's good to have that witness because that's a testimony. But we're not as wise as yet of understanding the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, because if we act too soon, we could fall back into what we came out of. Why? Because we don't understand the powers of the principality, the powers and rulers of darkness, how they will continue to come against your mindset. So this lesson here, again, is to reveal to you how God had to shut Zechariah's mouth, because he was about to abort a vision that was spoken some over a thousand years ago. And so notice this. I will go back to this. I will go back as far as this and show you in the book of Luke chapter 1. Go back over here with me. And notice this. The angel had appeared unto him. And we'll pick it up right here again, over here. Let's just go back to verse 5 again. It says, and this is Luke 1. Okay, Luke 1. And it says, that was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, and a certain priest named Zechariah, and of the course of Abba, and his wife is of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Notice this, they were not sinless, but they were what? Blameless, walking in all the ordinance and commandments. And see, this was a problem that the religious leader had. They were more concerned about the washing of hands. You know, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? And Jesus said, well, I ask you a question. Why do you violate the commandments and ordinance of God? They couldn't handle that because, you see, to them, they don't see themselves violated, but they were more stuck on outward tradition than they were the commandments of God. And this is what they're saying here. They walked before God blameless, not sinless, okay? And it said, and they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were well stricken in years. So because she had no child, again, let's just look at it from the perspective that the time of bringing forth John the Baptist was not right, was not yet. And so here, God stepped in the time right here by telling Zechariah what was going to happen. Even though they were old, they were stricken in the year. So if the Bible said call you old, you're old. So I don't really know how old they really were. I never really looked it up. But notice this. It says, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the customs of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. And when the, notice this, when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now notice this, he went into the temple of the Lord. And as he went into the temple of the Lord, and it said, and the whole multitude of the people praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, notice this, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Now, this is what you want to pay attention to, because, how, you know, what are the things that you prayed about? What is the thing you believe God for? But yet, Zechariah don't realize that this child that he's going to bring forth have a greater meaning than what he understand at this moment. And notice this. He said, your prayer is heard. And thy wife, notice this, Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John. So now what is the whole, well, see, one of the things about being filled with the Holy Spirit, he will lead you to absolute. He will lead, he will speak in absolute. Let me say it again. He will lead and he will speak in absolute, not of himself, but of that which he hears of the Father or of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is testifying, as John 16, 13, Jesus said, he will testify of me. This is why this is so important that you understand what your Lord, in the 3.5 years that he operated as a man, a human man, God in his deity, but man in his humanity. In his humanity, he had to learn. He had to grow. He had to develop just the same way as you and I. And so through this process, notice this. And he said, and he shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Look at the Holy, look at this angel is broadcasting, is talking to them in a man, and to Zechariah, and letting him know everything that's going to take place. What am I saying to you? I believe that every aspect of our life, the Holy Ghost wants us to know what's there before it get there. What's happening before it happens. And we live it out by faith, because why? It's not something we see physically. It's not something we touch tangibly. We know it's something that we handle. It's invisible, but we know it is just as real as if I'm looking through this screen on this monitor. We know it's just as real. But what we hear inwardly, it is for us to do what? We're carrying it. Like a woman that is expecting a child. She's carrying that child until the time of birth. At the end of that cycle of carrying that child, then that child itself, the mother, she's waiting for it to come out. But that child itself knows through 36, 37, or 38 weeks, it knows that, hey, at that proper time, it's fully developed. And it knows God put in that child, God put in that woman's body, that child know when it's time to come up with God, because he's ready or she's ready to experience life on his own. Well, I'm saying this, the Holy Ghost that's inside of each of us, and he has already put inside of each of us, and you know the season you're in, you know, you understand what is going on. And sometimes our frustration and aggravation will come because, you know, I know this is the way this is supposed to be happening. I know this is supposed to be taking place. Well, that is for you and I to do what? To press in, praying in the Spirit, and say, Lord, where am I missing this? What is going on? All aggravation and irritation is not bad. A lot of time in the Spirit, our agitation, our irritation is because why? We're searching to get in that place called there. That means the Holy Spirit is moving up on you, is shaking you on the inside, and is getting your attention, kind of like Moses. Remember, now to see the type with Moses, if you go back in Exodus, 3? And you remember Moses when he was on the backside of that mountain looking for God, the opportunity that God would give him the opportunity to lead the children of Israel? What did God do? He had a branch, a tree that was on fire but not being consumed. So what did that branch, what did that tree do? It was something that was out of the ordinary, but it got his attention. Well, that's what the same thing the Holy Spirit does inside of us. That means he'll do something within us. He'll stir in the inside. Remember, he couldn't stir on the inside of Moses. He had to use something as a type of the Holy Spirit in ways of working within you and I. He used the same means and method working with Moses from the outside, because no one was born again yet. But for you and I, we don't look for outward signs. Not that they can't happen, but our indication of the Holy Ghost moving in us, yeah, it's going to be within us, not on the outside. Anything that transfers from the outside is just that we, as a speaking spirit, are doing what? Are verbalizing. We are introducing. We are giving the world a new idea, a community, a new way of thinking. And that comes through words, and those words are the breath of the Holy Ghost that's speaking through you. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, if there's a fear because of some epidemic, and you come alone and said, the scripture said, no evil shall befall us, nor any plague shall come nigh our dwelling. For he given us angels charge round about. Well, something immediately on your inside, which is your spirit through the Holy Ghost, it'll jump up and say, yes, we are healed. We're here, and you are shielded from every plague. That's why we're here. Those angels say, that's why we're here, to protect the righteous. But the righteous has a voice. The righteous have to believe. The righteous have to receive and understand that when you put words in motion, then guess what? Whatever that's tangible, whatever that's visible, if it come to harm you, those ministering angels are there to see to it that it don't touch you. But it takes place from the inside. This couldn't happen with Moses. What happened with Moses was from the outside. This is the reason why God used his shepherd stick. And it was a type of Christ. That rod that Moses had was no longer a shepherd's rod. That rod became the word of God. But you see, that's all God could do. Then, because man was spiritually dead, that means his spirit, God couldn't dwell in man. But now that God is living inside of us, now that the Holy Ghost, the same spirit that ministered to Moses through that rod, ministered to Moses through the burning bush, ministered to the opening of the Red Sea. I mean, you know, we have all this inwardly. And all I'm saying to you today, this morning, is that, hey, take heed. Don't look at your life as being something insignificant. God never made nothing insignificant. Everything God made was good. You just may not have discovered as of yet your divine purpose on earth at this very moment. But keep growing. Keep feeding on the word. Keep loving. Keep allow him to love on you and get closer to you. And I tell you, Just when you think you're ready, you're not. But he'll show up at a moment because you're thinking in the natural, you know, I got this right, I got that. No, no. What God wants to do through you and I was already been set from the foundations of the world. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You might be eating boiled crawfish and you ain't even got the Lord on your mind. You just satisfying the taste of them mud bug. And they good. But God will be talking to you right there. And then all of a sudden, the taste of your mud bug will leave because what? Purpose on the inside. The Holy Ghost just ministered to you on the inside and you know it. Nobody hear it. Nobody see it. You will look around. And all of a sudden, abruptly, you say, I got to go. And everybody went, what's wrong with it? What happened? We came here because they wanted to be here. That's how it happens, saints. It'll get your attention. It'll move you in a way that nothing else in the natural has no hold on you. When you know it's the Holy Ghost moving up on you, speaking through you, all of a sudden, everything in the natural, everything around you, everything that looked like it had of some importance, you'll let it go. You'll drop it. You'll be just like a drug addict. A drug addict that was, you know, they got things worse than crack cocaine, but that fentanyl. But that crack, at one time, the way crack cocaine was, and many people that I've known or whatnot, when that desire come up on them, that urge, they leave their job, they'll leave their house, they'll be gone for a couple of weeks. Why? Because of that addiction until it's satisfied. Well, I'm telling you, now that's in the negative. I'm telling you, crack cocaine don't have nothing on the spirit of Christ that's in you. You'll be able to walk away and do what God called you to do and still be able to function in society. See, that's what we're talking about, the goodness of God. Crack cocaine is nothing good about it, but I use it in mean to show you the power that evil addiction has. Think about the power that be of the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and yet you still functional in this world. That's the difference I'm trying to make to you. And so as we close with this again, notice this, he let Zechariah know, but notice this. When he let him know, he told him what he should be great. Verse 15, he should be great in the sight of the Lord. He should drink neither wine nor strong drink. He should be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, that's amazing right there. John would be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That means the moment that conception, he would be filled in the womb. Why? Because he's getting ready to introduce the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It takes someone that's born of the Spirit, that have the Spirit of Christ, that the Word of God on them, because he's coming forth out of the womb with the Holy Ghost. This is the first time anything has ever happened like this, and yet John the Baptist was not born again. That's amazing. I'm just saying, just putting that out there for where we're going to go. And notice this. And he said, and many of the children of Israel should turn to the Lord God and shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Eli and the heart of the father of the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well stricken. So you see, he did not believe. And this is why the angel had to shut him up, make him dumb. Notice this. And the angel answered unto him, saying, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show you these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You see that? It was the season. He knew that they were supposed to have Elizabeth wanted a child. Zechariah wanted one. But they gave up because they figured, well, it just wasn't the will of God. Yes, it was the will of God, but the timing has something to do with it. But because he looked at his physical body, he looked at his wife, and it's just like, well, we old, this can't happen. He did not draw from Abraham, because he is the seed of Abraham. But you see what I'm saying to you is how we can forget. What my point to you is, as I close with this, is to reveal to you that as we walk in these spiritual truth, there's going to be many things that's going to come before your eyes, in your mind, that's happening around you to do what? To try to throw you off. Don't let that happen. Stay focused. Handle what is before you, but stay focused on what is taking place on the inside of you. Because what's taking place on the inside of you is so much larger than the thing that is around you. Sometimes the things that's around us, it is there to what? Pull on our attention, distract us from purpose. Don't you let it happen. Handle what you need to handle, but stay focused on the vision that's inside. Don't let it die. Don't let it move away. You stay in contact. And so that in order for God to bring forth John the Baptist, what God had to do? Through the angel, he had to shut his mouth. He told him what his name would be. And then notice this. And now we go on to talk about the supernatural birth, or the annunciation of Jesus, the word of God coming on the scene, which we'll talk about that tomorrow. So I took 2 days and kind of going back over and sharing with you about how Zechariah, showing you that Zechariah did not believe the angel, what he spoke. So therefore, to keep the will of God, remember, God stepped into time to bring forth the thing that he had already prearranged from the foundations of the world. So to keep Zechariah from messing it up, if Zechariah's word didn't have any power, why would the angel shut him up? Because why? His words could abort the vision. His word could abort the plan. I want you to go back and look at it for yourself and see it from the perspective of what I was speaking to you through the power of the Holy Ghost. He has to have our assistance. He's the one doing the work, but we have to be the one to speak. Are you following what I'm saying? But our speech should be in line and in light of the truth. And so tomorrow we're going to talk about the same angel went to Mary and talk in the same light. Well, even if it's hard to believe this story, what do you think it would be when you read about Mary bringing forth a child and no man touched her? Oh, now we getting ready to get somewhere of showing you the power that be in the Holy Ghost. He needed her body. He needed her consent, and she gave him both. How could she be convinced? And Zechariah was not. And yet, he has a wife that conception can take place. Mary doesn't. But here in this lesson tomorrow, I'm going to share with you that the same concept, how Mary received, is the same concept how you and I receive the word. Now, once you receive it, it's like what you do with it from that point. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. Well, look, my time has come and gone. And look, it's a blessing, always a blessing to be on with you, to share the word of God with you in this online Bible school. I pray that you got something out of this. I ask, share this with someone, another believer that may be struggling in their walk, in their stance. They may be questioning. They can go back and listen to something like this. And if it's blessing you, if it's been a blessing to you, then, hey, I ask you to Why don't you partner with us? Why don't you sow into an anointing that say, man, that was good, that opened the eyes of my understanding, that gave me strength to stand, strength to not give in. Well, why don't you just say, Lord, I'm so thankful for that. So I'm going to sow this seed into the favor church of just saying, thank you for using that brother for sharing with us. Well, why? Because we can't run our ministry without money. If I thought I could, I never ask for it. I never speak of it, but we can't, you know? And so we love to have your partnership with us. It helps us to maintain our ground, maintain all utilities, leases, taxes, and everything else that comes along with it. And so we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We love you. We'll do it again tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.